This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
We're here for another podcast. You're in for another podcast. Congrats on downloading it. You've made it this far.
Yay!
You've done the hard part, which was putting it on. Jules,
yes.
Hello, welcome. Hi. Leah, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
It's interesting here as we are into the renovations. We're deep in the renovations right now.
Lots of leaves on the floor, which I didn't realize were stuck in the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I just assumed they were being tracked in. Or we had plants that I wasn't aware of, but that would make more sense. There's lots of tarp everywhere.
Yes.
I don't know. Have you seen, I know you won't have seen this, Jules.
No.
But Aaliyah, have you seen American Psycho?
Yes.
You know how it's just like laying down like tarp
for
murder? So it's a lot of, it's very much a murder scene out there because you don't want to get blood when you kill someone on your carpet.
Oh, no.
So you put a tarp down.
I was imagining that Kevin Spacey movie where someone's like lying down going like that with roses or something. That's not the same movie.
Oh, that's American Beauty.
Okay.
that is quite different.
Okay. I mean, totally different dynamics,
but
good on you.
But yeah, hey, have you seen American Beauty?
I think that scene. That's about it.
You've seen that scene.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, you take what you can get.
Yeah, that's right.
So apologies, I suppose, moving forward, by the way, for those who are, if on the off chance you hear construction noise, I haven't heard any.
Yes, we have heard that people recording things in this same studio as us right now have had disruptions.
Yes.
I haven't noticed.
We haven't.
So the soundproofing may be good.
It's working out. Or we are deaf.
Yeah, true. If you happen to have heard earlier, though, in the week, a podcast, we were talking to a chick from The Bachelor called Alicia. And she.
Oh, wait, are you about to move into your thing?
Yes.
Can I quickly get a plug in for The Inner Circle?
Yes, you may.
Just up the top. On Facebook, by the way, at the moment, we've got this new page, Nick and Jules is The Inner Circle.
Yeah.
Go find it, go join it, because there you'll be able to get clues for Alpha Bucks. We'll try and give you a letter and a clue every day.
How kind of us.
Very nice for that. We want people to win that $1,000. We will also be giving them more chances to score tickets to Nick and Jules' comedy cruise on there. So if you want to come and join us in Mildura on the Murray River with a night of comedians, food and drink, that is going to be a double pass given away through that group as well.
Yep. Free tickets, but you must enter the page.
You've got to enter the page.
Yeah.
You can't just look at the page.
That's your entry fee.
It's hard for us to verify if you've just glanced at it.
Yes, we can't prove that.
No, not at all.
No.
Anyway, apologies to detract from Alicia who joined us earlier in the week.
Yeah, so she released a book called The Villain Edit that you can listen back. She goes into it. I've started reading the book.
Oh.
And she's talking about.
Oh, did you buy it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was interested in it.
The chat worked quite well.
I was influenced by my own chat.
Oh, yeah.
And she talks about it. I'm only a couple of pages in, guys, and then I fell asleep. But that's not on Alicia.
Don't write that in the review. Don't put that on the cover.
It was late at night, okay, guys. And she was talking about how when she was in her season of The Bachelor, it wasn't the time where it is now with reality TV where a lot of producers and stuff take over their phones. They don't get to see anything and they moderate comments or turn them off.
Yeah. Mm.
So she was saying that she would be given like a bunch of content to post towards the end of the weekend or whatever, and she would have to do all that herself. She became so obsessed when her season started airing that she would consume the entirety of the internet to find out what content was written about her, including recaps. And I had a full panic moment last night as I was reading that part going, oh, shit, I have recapped parts of The Bachelor probably around that time. Have I contributed to Alicia's reason why she needed to contact the show's psychologist frequently?
Does she name drop you in the memoirs?
Waiting for Julia Greenhalgh. Fortunately, I didn't write about that season. I wrote about a different season, one prior. But it is awful writing, and I would like to share it with you.
That's Please true. So do. What was it? So this is you recapping, or is it reviewing, or what's the angle?
I recapped every episode for some reason.
Every episode?
What was
During
what,
that season?
Was this? Were you on air at this point? Were you at uni? What was this? Was this just a passion thing?
I must have been trying to do community radio at the time, because I've used the same website. But I present to you, Game On Moles, Maddie J launches The Bachelor Season 5. And I'm pretty sure I've stolen every single picture that I've put in my article.
This sounds like your white chicks review.
Yeah, it does. So far, it does sound like it belongs on Pedestrian.
Well, I don't even think it could classify as letters from Jules because it's not cute enough. Like, I was an adult. I knew what I was doing. But
sad.
I will hand over my phone and you can read the first paragraph.
Game on Moles.
Yeah.
Game on Moles. Oh, it's on the Sin website. Okay,
yeah. Send it off.
Maddie J's returned to the screen for season 5 of Batchy after conceding defeat to last year's Lee for Georgia Love's affections. Be still our beating hearts. But before we get ahead of ourselves and let the fact that he's not competing against any other blokes with the same name sink in, let's backtrack. Enter 2016. Maddie J doubled over, heartbroken. I came here to fall in love. And I have, but it's with someone else. Now he's shirtless and showering shirtless and taking lonely walks on the beach shirtless. And in case our ovaries haven't yet exploded, we see a baby being held up by Uncle Maddie, who's in a pool, shirtless, obvs. Fortunately for us, Maddie has managed to find clothes for the first time since 2016 and suited up to meet a gaggle of diverse, wholesome ladies. Let the games begin.
So I did that every week, probably twice a week for that year.
Wow.
And I also shared it on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter. Why? Why did no one stop me? You were around, Sid. Why did no one tell me this was a terrible idea? Was
so
I trying to get a job for Pedestrian?
Maybe. Who knows?
I'm
not quite sure what demographic you were trying to hit with that.
Did you? Diary.
That should
people?
Have been a diary entry.
Did you give all the? Because you go on to talk about all the contestants that were. Paint. Did you name these contestants yourself?
I think I changed some of their names for fun nicknames.
Alex the body painter.
Oh.
Tara the nanny. Laura the ring bearer.
Oh.
Cobby coal worker. Of Kobe?
Maybe Kobe.
That, I vaguely remember
Kobe.
Jennifer DeVille.
Oh, yeah. She was mean.
Nat the nutter.
Uh-huh.
She was crazy.
Clever.
Michelle the manhandler. Love coach Belinda.
Mm.
Also, side note, if you're a love coach going bachelor, you're obviously not that good. So I wouldn't be bragging about that. It's like saying I'm a nutritionist and I did the Biggest Loser. It's like, I don't know if you should be. Leggy Lisa, a.k.a. the winner.
Ooh.
Did she go on to win? Is that
she
you,
did not.
A
so retrospective it was the ring bearer, Laura.
Ah, interesting.
Oh.
A.k.a. the winner prances over in a pantsuit. Giddy Batchy's already planning the tennis court date. Bye-bye, ladies. Game, set, match. That was just your opinion that she was going to be
there. Yes, yes. And
everything's alleged.
I think towards halfway through the season, I was like, oh, she's not going to win. But then I'd already named her that, so I couldn't change her name.
Yeah,
oh,
that's fair.
It was very embarrassing for
me. The winner loses first week.
So glad to know that after a brief freak out, I didn't write about Alicia.
Mm.
She doesn't have daggers towards my...
I'm
sure
she would.
Sin account?
Yeah. And honestly, that's why Sin's going down the drain is because, you know.
I'm
what?
Not a spot on her map.
Too many people from Bachelor are being like, God, I got to stop this Sin organization. Yeah.
Sending cease and desist letters because of this.
They've got targets on the backs of us.
But also the expression, if you can't beat him, join him. She ended up becoming one of those recappers, like in seasons later.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So who's the real bad person?
Yeah.
Who's the real villain here? Jennifer DeVille?
Jennifer DeVille.
Are any of those people that you, those names that I mentioned, did any of them become people of note within sort of the influencer sphere or is
No,
this...
reading that through, I was just like, oh yeah, I remember that person.
I remember Kobe or Cobby coal miner, if you will.
The cheese.
Because I just remember, I remember at the time thinking, because I watched this season with my housemate, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
In East Gippsland. Mm-hmm. And I remember vaguely, I remember him thinking, Kobe's a cute name. And I remember thinking, I think you're just saying that because she's attractive.
projecting.
Because I don't think Cobby is a cute name.
Cobby.
No.
It's just a name.
It's
so.
Interesting, though. I watch a lot of Asian television.
Sure.
It's just, you know, my preference. And there's a show on Netflix called Singles Inferno, and there was a girl on there who
That's an incredible name for a show.
I know. It's great. I highly
recommend.
Are there
fires everywhere?
No, they're just like stuck on a deserted island where it's really hot. Like Korean summer is
so
very
it's
hot.
It's like Korean Bachelors in Paradise.
Basically, yeah.
Right.
It's so good, first of all. But there was a girl on there in the most recent season, and she was a Harvard pre-med student.
Wow.
And basically she went on the show to have something on her resume, be like, look how interesting I am. Like, it's so, I'm so cool. I'm really interesting. I've done something, you know, unique.
Yeah.
So then she could get into medical school because it's
That's
weird in America.
Going on the Bachelor to get into medical school. Incredible.
Yeah. So I'm like, maybe some of those people were like, I just need something on my resume to look interesting and, you know, when people go, hey, what did you, why is there a gap in your resume? I went on The Bachelor.
Isn't it, it's interesting to imagine the dating, the reality sort of TV shows that other cultures have. Like, you know, you talk about it being Korean, like, because I just assume that every other culture is just smarter than us. So I go, you guys would have better TV than us. We don't need to do this. And then, no, everyone's just the same.
We just all copy. Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just, you know, we all just boil down to idiots watching other idiots.
Yes. And then we go, oh, that's a great idea for a show. Let's copy it.
Yep.
Also a great idea for the show, this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Also, if you've got to the end of this podcast, it's not technically the end, so that's good for you. Go join the Inner Circle. That's, again, our recommendation.
Yep.
Nick and Jules, the Inner Circle on Facebook.
We'll pop it in the show notes.
Yeah, so you won't get lost.
Yes. Yep. I'll remember.
You don't even have to pause the podcast right now. You can just scroll down.
Well, that's the best thing. Or you can just... Do I put a link in there? Is that a
link? I'll send link the link to you.
Yes. All right. Link in show notes.
Lingo.
Ooh.
Oh,
I was just going to be like, in the show notes, hey, remember to join that Facebook page we talked about. But there is a better way to do it.
Yes. There is, yes.
Right, you can shut me off air. All right, here we go. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Ned Brockman, it's a name that you might recall from last year and into this year. And if it's a name you don't know, you definitely know what he did, running over 100 kilometres a day, just about 3,953 k's, Jules, from Cottesloe Beach over in Perth, the Bondi Beach in Sydney. It's a heck of an effort, and he joins us right now. Ned, good morning, mate.
Good morning, team. How are we?
Very good.
We are doing well. Oh. Look, nearly a year on, how are the legs feeling? Are you feeling all right now?
Mate, legs are good. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It was almost a year ago. It was, we're day 32 or something of the run this time a year ago. So a lot of mixed emotions. I'm very proud, but also very, like, excited for the next one, hey.
Almost 4,000 kilometres, an enormous feat. I dare say you'd have to have a lot of motivation and discipline. How on earth did you do it?
Yeah, I guess if we had 4 hours, I could sit you down and talk to you, but that's the beauty the beauty of a book, right?
Take us into the mind of Ned Brockman right now. Give us the intricacies.
Yeah, no, it was I have a craving for hard things because I know the fulfillment I get when I achieve something that takes a long time. And so the run has just evolved from me, starting running 3 years ago as a means to lose weight to, you know, wanting to find my potential and reach limits that I didn't know were possible. And that's kind of where it evolved to today. So yeah, I'm so excited. There's a book about it. I'm so excited that my life is headed this way and where I can, continue to do these amazing things and raise money for important causes.
Ned, it's a pretty crazy pivot to go from a bloke who is a Sparky who, as you said, you take up running to lose a bit of weight to then going and do this. How quickly did the running bug bite you that you've decided in that space of time that, hey, I'm going to give nearly 4,000 Ks a crack?
Yeah, it's funny. It evolved like quite quickly, as you can tell. But yeah, it was probably about a week into the wanting to lose weight that I realized, oh, hey, I'm all right at this. And if
so,
I keep doing it.
Were you a runner beforehand? Or
No, I've literally started 3 years ago, mid-COVID. Yeah.
How
rattling,
are you
isn't
so... Okay, so some people might, you know, try and aim for a marathon or something like that.
Yeah.
What you've done is absurd. Like, there's no other word to put to
Well, the thing is, right, like, you know, like I ran my first marathon probably 2 months after I'd started running. But like... the time it took to earn, you know, to finish that marathon, like a 3 hours or whatever, 3.5 hours, the euphoria I felt was amazing, but it was all relative at that point. So that was the most euphoria I've ever felt. And then I ran a 60K and then an 80K, then 100K. And the time taken to get that, to achieve that, made it exponentially greater, right? The feeling when I finished. So can you imagine what running 50 marathons in 50 days or running across a nation would do in terms of that, you know, energetic, euphoric feeling when you achieve something that's taken a long time? It's just... it's hard to put into words that feeling, and that's that thing I'm trying to chase, I guess, for the rest of my life.
Okay, and of course, this is all stuff we talk about in the new book, Showing Up, Get Comfortable with Being Uncomfortable, which is available right now as of today. You can get it on your way home from work or on the way to work today.
Go get it.
Ned, tell us from, you know, as you say, chasing that euphoria and obviously finding that personal sense of accomplishment as a runner, and you're building up your time. What is it like, when does it happen in your mind where you go, I reckon that I'm going to do this crazy thing, which is running across the country? When does that kick into effect? And then also, where does this urge to also then use that cause to raise money for Mobilize, that charity which assists homeless in Australia? Where do those two start to sort of work in and click in your head?
Well, I think like there's no exact timing on when I choose or what I choose to do. It actually is a I talk about energy a bit, but it's like what feels right and what you know, there's certain ways in which we look at things and it kind of just pops at me. It might be when I'm, you know, digging into my breakfast in the morning that I go, oh, this is the idea. And so the run across Oz was the same. I was having a palmy at the pub with a mate and I just was like, why don't I do this? And then we just butted heads together and, you know, two heads are better than one. And so we plotted out the running across Oz and that just, it kind of evolves from there. And my naivety towards running because of my lack of running has probably helped me, yeah. You know, not overthink these things and just kind of go with it. And so, yeah, the homelessness thing as well. It's like, I knew I'd get a lot of attention on doing something so outrageously large. And then I wanted to help because I was so profoundly affected when I saw homelessness in Sydney and the fact that it, you know, there's people out there that don't have support the way I have support was quite rattling to me. You know, why is it that I can fall back on my parents or why is it I can fall back on friends? Why do these people not have that? And why didn't they get an education? Why didn't they, whatever it may be. And so I said, well, why not? I want to help this cause. And that's where Mobiliser really aligned with what I do. And yeah, we've been able to, you know, raise a lot of money. And it's only going to keep going.
Yeah. Very impressive. $2.5 million across the run with over 600K raised on the very final day. It's I'm sure they've been very appreciative of to have your legs behind them.
It's impressive.
Yeah. Big time. I'm excited to be behind them too, because they, you know, the energy that comes out of Noah, the founder and the excitement in the fact that they get to help people. It's a privilege that I get to work with them too.
Ned, it's interesting that you touched on, you know, wanting to do hard things. And it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, you surround yourself with a circle of people that encourage you to be motivated and to try and get out of that comfort zone. Do you look on other things like, you know, previously you were tradie and that sort of trade there and kind of go, well, why not push yourself to an extreme? Why not try, you know, in everyday things? Try a challenge. Well, try to push yourself out of something. Where it came from weight loss, where it came from something else. Is that your philosophy of life?
That's my message to everyone is like, you know, this day and age, we're so quick to want instant gratification for anything we do. So, you know, the moment there's a bit of hard work involved to, you know, achieve something, most people just throw in the towel. But what I've found is like the most euphoric and the most fulfilling moments in life are the ones that you have to work for. The times of resilience, the times of hardship that you get through those, that's when it becomes amazing. So the more you can do that intentionally, it becomes like this ripple effect and you want to just keep doing it. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I do what I do, because I want people to channel a bit of that mindset and go, you know what, it doesn't have to be running, it doesn't have to be pull-ups, it doesn't have to be whatever. It has to be just whatever it is they find. And like, you know, I didn't just rock up and run across Australia. Every single day I did the more uncomfortable option in every single scenario in my life. It was like, you know, the hard option is to run the longer way home, the easy option is to run the short way home, run the long way home. Whenever I thought about having a cold shower, I had to have a cold shower. I couldn't just have the warm, hot, you know, shower. So it's just like dealing with those and you know, getting that fulfillment from doing hard things.
It's kind of crazy because to think about, I guess, what you've been through this journey. In the first chapter of the book after, you talk about being 5 days in and just describing the physical anguish that you're in and then having to carry that across. Obviously, mentally strong. I want to go back to, I guess, the physical strength and obviously the running side of it here. You taking up during COVID, I think a lot of people took up hobbies in COVID. I don't know if anyone was going to be as profoundly affected across their life potentially as your hobby's done. Ned, there are a lot of people listening right now, and I think across Victoria and the country at large, who will obviously look at you and go, well, I can't go and do 4,000 Ks. Boil this down to me for someone. I myself, you know, I love running. I'm doing the Melbourne Half Marathon in a couple of weeks' time. That'll be fun.
Amazing.
But for those that don't run, can you boil your many thousand kilometres now into a little bit of advice to them to sort of help them find, I guess, you know, that perhaps that desire or that passion to do something to help themselves on a physical, from an exercise perspective?
Yeah, I think like don't overthink it. I think the unfortunate thing about social media is you're comparing yourself to so many people. I think what it all boils down to is, you know, as long as you're choosing the harder option, and that may be getting up 20 minutes earlier so you go for a walk instead of waking up and going straight on the bus to work. It might be that you, instead of choosing to eat the second, you know, load of dinner, actually just choose one, you know. And so like it's all relative and in perspective wise, you just need to, it's that you always come to a fork in the road moment. I come to a fork in the road moment every single day of my life, you know, time and time again. So always choose the harder option because you will find you grow and you grow and you grow. And it's like, yeah, each day we're always dealt with, you know, the harder or easy option. I think if you just choose to take it, your world just becomes this, you know, amazing place where you want to keep. And also giving and knowing that you get the opportunity to do these things, that's also a nice thing, is that we get to do it, and changing your perspective on it in a positive way, as opposed to being like, I have to get up and go for a walk. It's I get to, you know, and having that perspective as well.
What's your relationship like with running now? Like off the back of this, once you obviously got your legs back and you recovered, like how often are you busting out the 4,000 Ks?
I'm actually dealing with a bit of an injury at the moment, so I'm trying to do as minimal as possible. So I'm doing a lot of pull-ups at the moment, which is fun. I can stare at a wall for 4 hours and do a heap of pull-ups. That's my, you know, I find a lot of bliss and security in the mundane and monotonous life. Like I like being calm in the boring, because I think the more you can do that, the more you train yourself to be okay with it when it happens unintentionally. I mean, the running for me is, again, I don't love it. I only started 3 years ago. So my relationship with it hasn't changed at all because I never really liked it.
Ned, do you ever get the question, what's next after you've done this?
Every single time.
And what's your answer?
I say, yes, there's always something next.
Stay tuned.
Beautiful. Yeah. We love it. We love it.
Awesome,
and we,
guys.
Look forward to, of course, catching the book. Ned Brockman's Showing Up, Get Comfortable with Being Uncomfortable. It's available right now. Like we said, make sure you head into a bookstore or somewhere on the way home to get it. Ned,
or
mate, thank you.
NedBrockman.com.
Yes, and $5 goes
donation
towards homelessness, that awesome charity there. Thank you so much, Ned.
Thanks, legends.
I believe there to be no good excuse for why you can't return a message on time.
Preach.
Most people, I'll generalize this, like 95 to 99% of the population will have their phone within reach at any given moment of the day.
Oh, surgically attached.
So if you can't respond to a message in a timely fashion, I just have no sympathy for you as a person. Whereabouts are you? One of the people that we play here on the station a little bit.
I'm the bad guy. Duh.
Billie Eilish, she's come out. Turns out she is a bad texter, a bad responder.
It doesn't matter how much I like somebody. I could love somebody and think they're the coolest person and want them to think I'm so cool, and I just won't respond to their text.
Billie, that's not good enough.
No. What do you mean? As much as you love someone?
Oh, yeah. Is
she in a relationship?
I don't know. I don't care. And honestly, if she is, I wouldn't want to be the partner, because I'm going, all
right.
Can
you pick up some milk? Nope, didn't see the message.
Speak to you in a week from now. What are you doing? That's insane. So I have a real big issue with people that take a while to respond to messages.
Oh, they're the people that have like 30 unread text messages on their phone at all times.
Notifications, crazy. At the moment, and I take issue with this. So just a heads up, my sister Madeline, if she's listening right now, and I understand that you're a busy woman, Madeline, my sister, but she is in the Billie Eilish category right now.
Is she really?
Well, she's taking a while to respond.
Is she as popular as Billie Eilish?
Well, I don't know. She is studying law and currently planning her wedding. So I get that you've got a bit on your plate, but also I'm trying to buy some, like a new suit because I got her wedding coming up and also some other things. And I'm like,
so you want her to reply to your message about what you're going to wear at her wedding when she's planning everything else for the wedding and studying law on top?
How hard is it to tell me the dress code? How hard is it to tell me
the
dress code?
Just check the invite, mate.
I haven't got the invite yet.
Well, that's really awkward for you.
Maybe that's what she's doing. Maybe she's just ducking messages.
Donald Trump is currently facing a $250 million fraud trial. How does that link to McDonald's? Well, he got a little bit peckish during his trial, so he brought out a whole bunch of Maccas.
And apparently his son's saying, hey, my dad, Daddy Donald Trump, knows McDonald's better than anybody else.
Nobody knows it as well as him.
Okay.
But I put the question out to Victoria on 131060. Do you think you know McDonald's?
We've got two McDonald's aficionados ready to play with us on the line, putting them head to head. So you think you can Mac. We've got Jamie from Bendigo. Jamie, what's your credentials?
I used to be a McDonald's manager for a few years. I started working there when I was 14, 9 months.
Wow, and big dog.
Just came and went throughout the years. And I've been there for probably about 8 years all up.
Okay, interesting. So we've got you know, an ex worker there, which also seems to be the case for Jess from Wedderburn. Jess, your credentials very similar, it would sound like.
Hi guys. Yes, not a manager, but I worked at the K Flat and Strath stores from about 2009 till 2014 or so, variously.
All right, an expert, two experts. So, Jamie and Jess, how this is going to work
is I'm going to give you an item and you have to tell us what the price is. Whoever gets closest gets it correct.
Bragging rights are on the line here, mm-hmm. of course, and your names are your buzzer. Jules, would you like to go first?
All right, I've taken items that Donald Trump enjoys the most from the menu. This is from the My Macca's app prices.
Yes.
The Big Mac, what is the price?
Jamie's
in.
Again, it does depend on each.
Jamie, I don't want to hear. I didn't ask for extra fries or extra sauce on the side. I just want to know the price.
About $7.60.
$7.60.
All right, Jules. Well, Jules, can you tell us if it's bang on or not?
It is not bang on.
Ooh, interesting.
I mean, very close.
Do we let Jess have a go if you reckon?
$7.85.
All right. It is, in fact, $7.50.
Jamie getting from Bendigo, getting a quick point in there. All right, we're
our
up
second
there.
Second item, the fillet o' fish.
Jess.
Jess is in.
$5.80.
$5.80. Jamie, what do you say?
I think it's about
$6.50.
That's too much for a fillet of fish, if you ask me.
Jamie said $6.50.
What do we reckon, Jules?
Again, 10 cents off. It is, in fact, $6.60.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I mean, Jamie's quite, she knows the price.
It's expensive.
It's
all gone up.
Jamie, Jess, would people be ordering the fillet of fish regularly? That for me is a Good Friday burger for a one day a year only burger.
Mm-hmm. It was always my dad's favourite.
Okay. Well,
steamed bun.
It's all right. Let's go third item here. Let's go. All right. Jamie's got two of three. Let's see if we can get some, you know, some bragging rights back for Jess and just some, you know, a bit of respectability about the game.
The last combo for Donald Trump. He loves large fries and a small vanilla shake.
Jess.
Oh, okay. So, Jess, you get the first answer here, but we do have two items put together. This is difficult. Jules is trying to sting you.
I'm going to say $9 for both.
$9
total.
A $9 flat. All right. I mean, it's bold. Jamie, would you like a counter?
Oh, it is going to be about the $9 mark. I'm going to say maybe go for what size shake? Was it large?
A small vanilla shake and a large fries.
He does seem okay, like I'll he'd go for a large
I
shake, doesn't he?
I couldn't get the large at this time of boarding.
All right, here we go. What are we?
$8.25, roughly.
Okay.
The correct answer is $9.20.
Ooh. All right, Jess, we've got some respectability back in the game. Jamie from Brenda, of course, clearly knows Macca's just a little bit better, but Jess from Wedderburn, of course. If you ever need, you know, if you can't access the My Macca's app and you need to figure out the prices for things, give
ask.
Them a call. They know what's going on.
The Wee Wee Wednesday French Quiz.
You both just made such awful noises.
They're French noises, Nick. We get a little bit cultured every single Wednesday.
We do. You love the French language, the French people, the French country, the countryside.
In case you haven't remembered, I actually went to France recently on my Europe trip.
You didn't mention it once?
No, I didn't. Well, guys, we have three questions here for the Wee Wee Wednesday French quiz. Your names are your buzzers. Multiple choice, question one.
Wee.
Bed bugs. They've taken over Paris, with authorities worried it will scare tourists away from the Olympic Games next year. Where have the bed bugs been the biggest pest? Try saying that three times.
The bed.
Literally what I was thinking.
Correct.
Was it at Paris Fashion Week, taking place right now, in the Charles de Gaulle Paris airport, or along the metro, the trains?
Aaliyah.
Yes, Aaliyah.
The metro.
That was a lucky guess.
I was going to say Fashion Week, just because I see some of the people walking down the catwalk, and I just go, that doesn't look like
bed
actual
buggy.
Fashion. You found that on the street. Questionable.
They've been blocking connecting trains and airport access the most.
What? They're pretty big, the bugs. They're massive. They're the size of elephants.
Standing on the tracks. Question two. A French family planning agency is turning to what unusual means to teach kids about the birds and the bees. Is it the British Netflix TV show Sex Education?
Uh-huh.
The Moulin Rouge Cabaret Club? or Mr. Bean?
About the Birds and the Bees.
What of this is true?
Mr. Bean, not traditionally sexy. You know, actually, I'm going to go Nick. I'm going to go Mr. Bean because he does a lot of finger pointing, and he might accidentally do that thing where he puts his pointer finger into the circle other finger.
Oh no!
That's my guess. Is that correct?
That is incorrect. Kel,
yep, what she said. I tried to say what you said.
Fromage.
You like to?
Like to guess. It's the French quiz, so surely the Moulin Rouge.
Incorrect as well.
Oh.
It's the Netflix British TV show, Sex Education.
Well, that felt too easy because it says Sex Education, right?
Yeah. They put up posters all around the country inspiring teenagers to ask certain questions.
Interesting.
Question three. France this week caused a stir in the news cycle for what controversial stance? Calling out grocery brands for shrinkflation? Banning parents from posting photos of their kids on social media? Or vaccinating ducks against bird flu?
Ducks against bird flu. That's too time consuming.
The French. That has to be your answer.
I feel
right?
like the French would just be like, "I'll get over it. You'll get the flu. We all get the flu." What was the first one? What is shrinkflation?
Shrinkflation when they downsize their product but they keep the same price.
Aaliyah, I think it's the banning parents from showing their children's faces on social media.
I will go Nick. I will say it is shrinkflation.
You are both incorrect.
What?
It's vaccinating ducks against bird flu.
That is too time-consuming, French.
60 million ducks are they hoping to vaccinate by next year because there's a massive cull at the moment for farmers.
What?
This is why you have this many bed bugs. It's because your resources are not being used properly at the moment, people.
Imagine if we did that to the human race. Human flu. Get rid of them all.
We have vaccinations every year for the exact reason.
I do believe that sentiment was shared by some people across the COVID pandemic. We just found Jules' political stance accidentally.
That was the Nick and Jules podcast.